Hello and welcome to Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast, your number one podcast for healing the mother wound from maternal narcissism and stepping into your power. In this episode, I want to share with you what works and what doesn't work when healing from maternal narcissism. I want you to come away from this episode knowing that anxiety and fear and whatever pain you're experiencing don't have to be there all the time anymore. Listen till the end to get the three steps that make the difference. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women healing mother wounds through the 1-on-1 10 weeks program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. And a little side note that I want to share with you, it's I would really appreciate your shares and reviews on this podcast, as the algorithm and visibility, the listens have gone down lately. And so what does that mean? If the listens are going down, it means this is reaching less people and is reaching less people that are in need to listen to this. So if you take a moment and you feel into maybe the difference that listening to this podcast has made for you, the more people can listen to this, the more difference we can make together. So, yeah, if you have a moment of time when you can leave a review or share it with someone that you know may feel in need, this helps someone else receiving what you've received from this show. So I really, really thank you in advance for that. Okay, now let's get back to today's episode. What does not work when healing from maternal narcissism, and the three steps that will make the real difference that I'm going to share with you. So let me start by asking you, when you hear words such as inner calm, peace, relaxation, joy, satisfaction, authenticity, what comes up for you? Is your next thought, yeah, right, not for me. It's a dream, but I know it's impossible for me. I've tried everything, but I still can't achieve any of that. Is that where your mind goes next? Or a variation of that? If that is what comes up for you, I want you to know that I get it. I really, really do. When I heard words such as peace, contentment, satisfaction, authenticity, and so on, I wanted to feel inspired, but in reality, I felt more hopeless and defeated. I felt that those things may have been possible for everybody else, but never for me. Not with the baggage I carried, not with the history I had, not with the mother I had. Now, with the levels of pain and fear and anxiety and guilt that I experienced every day, that were with me all the time. So if you're feeling that way, I really want you to know that I see you, I feel you, I really know what that likes, what that is like, what that feels like. That has been my lived experience for most of my life. I'm 40 now, nearly 41, and I can say up until my late 30s, this was my daily experience. And it's not fully gone. Like, there are still days where I'm feeling like that. Less and less, though. And that is the good news. And that is what I want to share with you today. So, and yet, even though I thought it was impossible to achieve those things, there was a part of me that found it just as impossible to give up. There has always been a spark there, even if at times it felt really, really tiny, it was there. Can you feel that? Can you connect with that spark within you? I know it's there. I actually really know for a fact that it is there inside of you. And you may ask me, How do I know? You know, how do you know that's there? You don't even know me. You don't know my story. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through every single day. And that's true. I don't know the details. I don't know you personally, so I don't know the details. But I do know that that spark is in you because you're here. You're here right now listening to this episode. If that spark had died completely, you would have given up. You wouldn't be looking for solutions anymore. You wouldn't be looking for healing anymore. You wouldn't be searching for validation of the story of what you've been through. You wouldn't. If you had given up, you wouldn't be doing that. But you haven't. You haven't given up. You're still searching for a way through. For a way to access that inner peace and joy and authenticity, that though it feels like a faraway dream, a part of you still can't give up on it. So I invite you to connect with that. I so honor that part of you. It's precious. And it's full of courage and resilience, grit and determination. And I'm inviting you to connect to that part of you right now. That part that none of the pain you've been through has managed to fully eliminate. There's your strength there. There's such power in there. And if you still can't feel that, that's okay. So I invite you to take a moment to pause with yourself and feel your heartbeat. Can you feel that? You may even place a hand on your heart, on your chest, if that feels good to you, and feel the vibration of every beat in your heart. It doesn't matter the speed of it. None of it matters. You don't need to describe it, but can you feel it? Can you feel your heart beating? Keep that, hold that as a sign that your spark is still there. As we go on with this episode, because that's important. And while you do that, let me ask you, how many resources have you been through? Like podcasts, books, courses, all of that, to learn about maternal narcissism, to learn about manipulation of a narcissistic mother, to learn about her behaviors, to learn about how to react to her behaviors, to learn what's normal and what isn't, if that's a word that we can even use. I don't like using that word because normal, it's a very subjective concept. But how many resources have you consumed to this day? How many times have you spoken about your pain? Maybe in therapy. Maybe to a friend that also has a narcissistic mother. To your partner, perhaps. How many times have you repeated your story and the things that have happened to you? How many times have you meditated, trying to find inner peace? You know, sat for hours in an uncomfortable position, if we want to be honest with each other, trying to find inner peace. And this may look different for each of us, but in my case, I'm going to share about my own experience. I've started this healing journey 22 years ago. I was about 18, or a little bit less than 18, actually, and sampled so many different modalities, it would make your head spin. And that inner peace still couldn't get it. Still couldn't get it. Still couldn't be my authentic self without feeling like I was gonna die. Like people were gonna reject me, abandon me, insult me, judge me, punish me, like my mother did all the time. That was still there, despite the level of positive thinking, despite the amount of positive affirmations, despite the attempts at journaling. I was not a great journaler. My mother used to get very judgmental about my writing, so for me journaling was not one of my favorite healing modalities, although now I do use that in very specific, intentional ways. So many different ways to try and get, ultimately, to try and get a moment of inner peace, a moment where anxiety, guilt, fear, actual terror, that bracing for something bad to happen any minute, just to have a moment without that. So I don't know, what have you tried up until this point? And if you've tried a ton of things like me, and yet you may still feel that inner peace and contentment and being your authentic self is an almost impossible dream, I truly get that. For a long time, what I thought was realistic, a realistic goal, was to manage the pain I carried. And a lot of modalities have taught me that, have taught me how to manage. So how not to get completely swallowed in these very intense emotions when I felt them. So if I felt a stronger wave of anxiety, and I'm going to say it that way because anxiety was actually there all the time. Can you relate with that? There wasn't a moment when I was not anxious. There were moments that I was less anxious, and moments when I was so anxious that I couldn't breathe, that it would go all the way into fear, terror, and a panic attack. And then there were moments that I was just anxious enough to feel it, but not enough not to function, kind of way. And the same with guilt. There wasn't a moment where I wasn't feeling guilt. There were moments where I was feeling it a little less, and moments when it would floor me completely and I couldn't function, and so on. So what I thought, what I learned with many modalities has been how to manage these emotions that were always with me, how to manage these feelings, and how to manage the pain I carried, because it was also all the pain that these emotions caused, that the history that I used to repeat to myself all the time caused in me. So I could manage it. But what I didn't believe it was possible was to ever be fully free of it. That was the difference. So the modalities that I've been through over the years taught me, yeah, you can manage this pain. You can somehow function despite all the pain to a degree. When I say function to a degree, I mean function to a degree. Things that other people, that I could see other people doing for me, were absolutely impossible to do, like certain social events, certain interactions, that was not an option, because that would trigger all those feelings way too much. Then we would go into a place that was absolutely flooring for me, like unmanageable. So for a long time, I thought that the most realistic goal would be to manage all of this mess that I carried inside, but that I could never be fully free of it. So do you ever feel that way? Have you become an expert in maternal narcissism only to still feel the pain it caused you every day? Been there, done that. I mean, I am an expert on maternal narcissism. I can say that. I can claim that. I know a lot about it. I've learned tons about it. I've researched. I can tell you all the little teensy bits of manipulations, all the little names that we put on that. An expert. And yet, did that really heal me? Mm-mm. No, I can tell you, absolutely not. Have you set a million boundaries only to keep falling back into the old loop of pain? How many boundaries have you set only to fall back into the same patterns, only to be sucked back in, maybe by your mother? Been there plenty of times. With more than one family member, not just my mother. Have you talked about it, rationalized it in every possible way, done 20 years of therapy, only for all the coping patterns to still be showing up? Yet again, I get it. I've been there. No judgment whatsoever in me sharing this with you and saying this to you and bringing these reflections to you, because as I said, I've been there. I've talked and talked and talked. I've talked for so many hours about what happened to me and the things that triggered me in the moment, and talked some more, and thought that by talking and thinking about it, I would figure it all out and my body would stop freezing, would stop getting stuck, would stop suffering, would stop giving me all this pain, would stop getting sick as a result of all of this. And none of that actually happened, and my body still got sick, still gave me pain, still stopped functioning and went into survival mode all the time, despite all this rationalization that I was doing. So I get it. This is what I want to share with you today, what works and what doesn't work on the long run, because all of the modalities, a lot of the stuff that I've tried, some stuff didn't work at all. So I'm going to be very upfront with you. Certain things did not work at all for me. That was my personal experience. But there were things that brought a degree of relief and worked to a point. As I said, they helped me manage the pain I carried. So they worked to a degree. But what works on the long run, that's what makes the difference. That is what actually brings that inner peace, that calm, that capacity to be your authentic self, to even get to know who the hell is my authentic self. I didn't know for such a long time, and I'm still figuring it out, because that's a journey that never ends. There's going to be bits and pieces of your authentic self that are going to keep revealing themselves to you forever. But to have the space, to be in a space to allow that to happen, we need to feel safe. We need to find that calm, that peace. And even to experience some bits of joy. As I said in a recent episode, I think it was last week, I discovered recently that my body was really scared of feeling joy. For whatever reason, I don't want to go into the story, but if I felt joy, my body was going into the same survival mode that it would go into if triggered by something so-called negative. And that was a surprise for me. How the hell am I meant to feel joy if my body goes into survival mode? If I go into fight, flight, freeze response when I'm feeling happy. And so this is what I want to share with you. What works on the long run? What actually creates long-lasting shifts in your system, in your nervous system, in your body, which then have a ripple effect, a beautiful ripple effect in your lived experience. So let's start with what doesn't work. What doesn't work is telling the story again and again. If you're listening to this episode and you're in the community, you're in Reclaim Your Fullness online community with me, you know, you're probably rolling your eyes up to heaven now going, oh, she says this all the time. That we're not meant to tell the story again and again and again. And I know I say it all the time because it is. Telling that story puts your entire system into that traumatic experience again and again and again, and keeps that loop of pain going. And as I say, there is a point where maybe if you've never told that story, if you've never really been validated, you just need to share it once just to get that resolution. But again, it's to speak to it, to resolve it. It's not to speak to it, to speak to it again and again and again, which is what we tend to do. As I said, I've talked for hours, countless hours. If I had kept count, it would be years, day and night of consecutive talking about my story and about the things that happened to me and about the things that continue to happen to me. So that does not work. It doesn't. It may give a tiny little bit of temporary relief, but it doesn't actually work. What doesn't work is rationalizing. So again, you know, all the and positive thinking, thinking about it, positive affirmations, thinking yourself into healing. Again, that can help you managing it for a little while. That can help you suppressing the pain for a little while, but it's not actually going to work on the long term. Your conscious mind, it's beautiful. But what actually rules your life is the subconscious. And so there's no rationalizing that is going to get you out of the subconscious reactions, the coping patterns, the trauma responses in your body. Mm-mm. It's not going to work. And believe me, again, 20 years of trying didn't bring any results. Becoming an expert doesn't work. And again, I know it because I've done it in everything. Everything that I've tried, I've become an expert in it. I've studied so much. I was like first student in every class. Also because it was very driven by the inadequacy that I was carrying inside. So, of course, that's a part of it. But becoming an expert, I thought that that would help me. That would actually bring clarity, and that clarity would help my body heal. That clarity would help my pain heal. It didn't. Again, it helped me manage it, but it didn't help me heal in it. Suppressing doesn't work. As we said, with all the rationalizing and all of that, suppressing it, just pretend it's not there. You know, get yourself busy. Get yourself fully into work. Been there, done that. I was like a workaholic for a long time. I was working crazy hours with zero stop, pausing, not even stopping for a lunch break. Just work to get my mind off things, to suppress the feelings and the emotions and the pain that was there. And again, it didn't work. It actually brought me to very close to burnout. If not, actually, I do believe it was a burnout, but it wasn't a classic, okay, I just couldn't move and I couldn't get up out of bed. It was more like a functional burnout. I was constantly burned out and yet still pushing. So that didn't work. And I know some may get triggered by this, and that's okay if you do. I don't mind. But sitting for hours in a stiff meditation pose, that won't work either. That won't work either. Because that's suppressing as well. There are things in the body that need movement, that need a different kind of presence. When we meditate, and meditation is a beautiful thing. I'm not actually saying that that's not a good thing. It's an amazing tool. But it cultivates presence, which is very important. On the healing journey, cultivating presence is essential. On Reclaim Your Fullness online community and training platform, we have so many practices that I've shared that I have recordings of it there for you that cultivate presence, because presence is very, very important. But there are a lot of other things that our body needs to heal in order to heal. And just meditating for hours, very often the way meditation is understood and done is it's actually getting us out of the body, getting us to bypass the body and pretend to be in this other space that it's above it and so doesn't feel anything anymore. But that is a negation of what's actually happening in the body, which is so super important for this healing journey. And until we soften and we get into the uncomfortable places within the body, we don't actually get to heal anything. So that's why I'm saying that sitting for hours in a stiff meditation pose doesn't actually work. Not by itself. Not just that. So as I said, I've been there. I've done that. I've done all of those things that I tell you don't work. And that's why I'm telling you they don't work. I've seen it with clients again and again. So many clients come to me saying, I've been in therapy talking about this for 20 years. and nothing has changed. And again, I'm not saying that therapy doesn't work, but it just doesn't do what is needed for the long-lasting real shift. And hence, we need to go there for 20 years in a row. If it really worked, we wouldn't need to do it for that long. I've tried meditating. I've tried putting myself in crazy knots in yoga. I've tried, and I get again, and I get clients that come to me saying they've done so many different modalities. They're tired, sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of trying and trying and trying some more and getting no results. And I really get it. Some temporary relief? Yes. Yes, as I said, that I've experienced plenty of times. Some temporary relief. Some lessening of the anxiety. Some lessening of the pain. Yes. Some sense of, I'm doing something about it. Yes, I got that. By doing certain things, you know, by sitting in meditation, which I really didn't like, to be honest. But I did it because someone told me that that was the way, so I did it. Then I did the thinking about it. I had the journaling that I didn't like, but I did it. I did all of that. And it gave me that sense of I'm doing something about it. But the real lasting healing, nope. None of that gave me that. And I see, as I said, I see this with clients every day. Decades of talking therapy, decades of reading books, decades of positive affirmations, and yet still that same crippling anxiety is there, always under the surface. The bracing for when the next trigger will hit is still there, or the avoiding of any situation that can in any way trigger. I don't know if you're doing that, because I've done that for a long, long time. So we end up not living because we're avoiding life in case it's going to trigger guilt, fear, anxiety, and a panic attack and all of that. So no judgment there if that's where you are. I get it. Because without any other tools, what the hell are you meant to be doing? Of course we try to avoid things that make us suffer. Makes sense. I only have love for you, and that's why I'm sharing this with you, as I know very well from very up close how painful it is to have tried everything and still feel unhappy, anxious, afraid of everything, stuck and alone. That's been, those words describe my life for most of it. So I really get it. I feel you, and I send you so much love right now. So what does work? What works? Is not something you can read on a book or talk about it. Well, there have been books written about it. Amazing experts have written wonderful books on this, of course. But to heal, in order to heal after reading about it, you need to experience it. It's what works is a journey inside of your own system. And if we want to be specific, your own nervous system, your body, which has been through the mill since the very start of your life. If you have a narcissistic mother or a mother that's been unsafe to be around, there you go. Like from the very beginning of your childhood, since you were born, your nervous system has been through the mill, has experienced unsafety and terror and trauma. Tuning into your body and learning how your body reacts to triggers, how it communicates to you when there's something upsetting, how it reacts when there's fear or anger or sadness, and learning how to respond to all that, to all of that, is a way that brings healing instead of fighting it. So, as I said earlier, we gotta go into the uncomfortable parts briefly. We don't have to stay there for days. We don't have to stay there for hours. But we just need to go there and figure out how your body, because it's going to be different than mine, than anyone else's, how your body communicates to you and how we can work with that to respond to that. That is what works. It has been life-changing for me to discover how to do that. There are simple yet so potent exercises that done at the right time change everything. Before finding all of this, I thought I would never experience what it is not to have anxiety. I thought I would never know what feeling at ease meant. I still remember, and if you've been working with me, you know this, because I do mention this to clients sometimes when it's necessary, when the situation arises. But I still remember the first time I felt a glimpse of a moment without anxiety. It was like someone had flipped a switch inside of me and just switched the anxiety off for a little bit. It was about 4 years ago. I was in my kitchen cooking for myself and my family, so very mundane sort of thing. I wasn't sitting in meditation for 10 hours. I wasn't doing like some crazy yoga practice. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't journaling for like 100 pages. I was cooking in my kitchen. That's it. And I felt a glimpse of peace. It felt like a lightness in my shoulders, as if a weight had been lifted. I could breathe easier like I'd never before. And there was a silence in my thoughts that was really, it was actually almost weird. I remember actually stopping, I was chopping. And it's crazy how these moments are like printed in your memory. They get printed there. It's printed in my memory. I was chopping vegetables and I stopped and I looked around the kitchen as if I was searching for those thoughts. It's like, where are they gone? How is there silence in my head right now? How is it that I'm not bracing for something bad to happen? Everything felt like so peaceful. And it lasted a few moments. So this was not something like, oh my God, like hours of it. Nope. It lasted probably just a few seconds before getting back to what has been the norm for me. Bracing for the next trigger, feeling anxious. But that gave me a reference to what it actually can be like to live without the constant anxiety, without the constant fear, without the constant worrying, without the constant stream of thoughts that are unhelpful at best in my head. And I decided I would not stop until I could get to feel that again. I had to figure out how, of course, because that happened. That just happened. Of course, it didn't just happen. There were things that I was doing that made it possible, that created the conditions for that to happen along the years. So it's not that that just happened like a miracle or something. Although it felt like that. It felt very much like that. But the more I practiced, the more those glimpses have grown into longer moments. And that is what I want to share with you. You know, when you feel, okay, inner peace, calm, being my authentic self, all of that, that's impossible. That's a far distant dream. Managing my pain is the only way I'll ever survive this lifetime. No, that's not true. Like, these glimpses have grown into longer moments, into minutes, into hours, into an entire day. That's why I want to share this with you. Inside Reclaim Your Fullness community and training platform, I have created a 5 days workshop that starts October 13th, so next week. And by joining the community now, you get to access this workshop live, and I will be sharing these tools and exercises in these 5 days. Amazing life-changing tools, because they've worked for me and they're working incredibly effectively for my clients that have been working with this for a while now. What I will share is the most effective way to bring lasting healing and shifting of unhelpful patterns in your system. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know my commitment is to always bring you what I find works best. And this is it. If this calls to you, you can find the link in the description to either join the community or to sign up to the newsletter, where I'll be sharing more on this in the coming days. So, talking about it, becoming an expert in narcissism and in all that your mother might or might not do, knowing all the terminology for every single manipulation possible, it all helps to a degree, but it does not end the pain you carry. I thought it did, and I learned it all in the hope of ending my own pain. And from experience, I can now say the only way, it's by attuning to your body. And I'm going to give you the three steps now. It's by attuning to your body and to your nervous system, learning the way it communicates to you, which is going to be personal to you, and learning how to respond and soothe in a way that brings lasting healing. So the three steps are pause, feel, and respond. Number one, you need to pause. If you're rushing one place to another, if you're constantly stuck in your head repeating the story, if you are constantly suppressing, trying, doing other things, distracting, and all of that, that's not going to work. It's going to keep feeding that anxiety. It's going to keep feeding the survival mode. It's going to keep feeding the fear, the terror, the guilt, and all of that. Pausing is essential. Because in the pause, you get the time to feel into your body. That's the next step. You get the time to feel into your nervous system. And with these new tools that I will be sharing in the workshop, you learn how to respond to what you feel in a way that not only supports you in the moment, but also truly cultivates healing. And with this healing, you get to access who you really are, beyond your trauma, beyond your mother wounds, and beyond all the coping strategies that are not helpful for you anymore. So pause, feel, respond. These are the three steps. They seem super simple to say, yeah? Like, I mean, were you expecting something with fireworks, you know, something flashy? I'm sorry to disappoint, but I'm not sorry. Pause, feel, respond. That's actually the formula. Because usually what we do, we rush into it, we don't feel because it's scary, and then we react in order not to feel. That's what we do. That is what we do to avoid that suffering and pain that we experience in childhood and that we keep experiencing under the surface. So again, is there judgment there? I really hope not. I really hope you're not judging yourself. I definitely am not judging you, and I've stopped judging myself a long time ago, because with the lack of better tools, makes a lot of sense to not wanting to pause, to not wanting to feel, and to react as best we can to try and cope with the life we're living, with the pain we're experiencing. So it makes total sense. It's just not very helpful on the long run, and it's never going to bring us inner peace, calm, the capacity to be our authentic self, the capacity to experience joy, as I recently learned. So, pause, feel, and respond is what it's going to really, really make the difference. It's what's going to bring all those beautiful things that, as I want to remind you, you haven't given up on, because you're here and you're listening to this episode. Yeah? Have you been feeling your heartbeat? Maybe not. I know it's easy to get distracted and carried away. So just take a moment. Go back there. Feel your heartbeat. That's that part of you that's still there, still looking, still searching for a way to find that inner peace, that calm, that anxiety-free life. At the very least, without the constant anxiety. I'm not going to say that you're never going to feel anxiety again. I still do, of course. But it's not that constant under the surface drag of anxiety, that constant pain that's not there anymore. That heartbeat, that's that part of you that's still searching. that knows not to give up because knows there's a way. There has to be a way. We were not born to live like this. You were not born to live feeling anxiety all the time, guilt all the time, fear all the time. That's not what life is about. It's not. And I've read tons of books about this, but I'm beginning to really experience it and going, yeah, life is about being happy. Life is about feeling the full range of emotion and know how to work with it. Know how to navigate them in a way that doesn't floor us every time. Using the full palette of colors. Not just one, two, or three really gray or black ones. All of them. So if this sounds good to you, I can't wait to welcome you inside Reclaim Your Fullness community and share this with you starting October 13th with this 5 days workshop where I'm going to share these tools. How to respond. How to respond. And of course, on the platform, there's practices on how to pause and how to learn how to feel and all of that. There's tons of that. But how to respond? Because we can pause and feel and then what? What do I do with what I'm feeling, right? I've been there, actually. I've learned to pause and feel first. And I was like, okay, now that I felt all of this, what am I going to do? Because it feels pretty uncomfortable, you guys. So what am I going to do with this? So then I had to learn how to respond. And this is what I want to share with you. How to respond to what you're feeling into yourself in a way that brings long-lasting healing. So if this calls to you, sign up today. And if you have any questions on it, email me at mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me and I will be happy to answer your questions. And with that, I'm going to send you so much love. Wish you a wonderful week ahead. Bye for now.